You know, I was thinking about, well, this is Sunday 4-6-25. We're going to look at the offensive stance. And I was thinking about Deuteronomy. Is it 28? Blessed going in, blessed going out. I want to read that. Kind of set the stage. Even in the old covenant, the Lord wanted them to say these things and to think these things. It says here, 28 Deuteronomy, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that they are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken to the commandments of the Lord thy God, which commanded this day, to observe and to do them. I'm not going to read the negatives, because this is what the Lord was saying to me. There should not ever be a negative thing come out of your mouth. Never a negative concerning your situation. Right here. In American football, the offense is the team that has possession of the ball and is advancing toward the opponent's end to score points. Isn't that what the objective of the game is? The offensive. Jesus has run offense for each of us and has already made it to the end zone concerning anything and everything you may ever face. We do have an adversary that is ever at work to change this. And we're going to look at some scriptures concerning that. The Lord brought that to me. He said, nothing should ever come out of your mouth except, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. Nothing should come out of your mouth that does not show the complete work that Jesus has already done for you. I don't care what the circumstances dictate. 1 Peter 5. We know we have an adversary. But Jesus triumphed over him. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 8. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in all your brethren that are in the world. So how do you submit to God? Well, you refrain from speaking with a forked tongue. See, that's what causes us to get double-minded. This does not change the fact that Jesus already did it all. It doesn't. Whatever the devil does not change the fact of what Jesus has already done. See, he's a thief. He comes to steal what you already have. It's already yours. You're not trying to get well. You're not trying to get money. You're not trying to get wisdom. You already have it. The scripture already lays it out. He has been made unto us wisdom. Okay, James 4. It's real easy to get down in the dumps and then start jabbering. Has God's word changed because you're down in the dumps? James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God. How do we do that? His word. Right here. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. When you humble yourselves, you do it his way. Submit yourselves. See, proud says, I'm going to have my rant. I'm going to have my say. I'm pissed off today. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. It's about not getting in the flesh and start saying things that you shouldn't be saying. Jesus is telling us to submit to God. It is to keep our minds, or his mindset before us. We're the head, not the tail. We can't be anything but. See, it's his tactics to try to get us to change his mind because he's come to steal. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Colossians 2:15 clearly states what Jesus did. If I can find Colossians, here it is. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Okay, so that means they're defeated, right? They do not have anything over you unless you give it to them. Okay, we're not battling to get well, to get money, to get problems solved, or whatever the case may be. So Jesus rendered a total defeat concerning the devil. He won for us at every level. He took it all the way to the end zone, too. He's already done it all for us. He's already accomplished everything for us, and that's a fact. Nothing can change that fact unless you change it. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Why would you do that? Because of what you know you have. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We see the objective here. Satan is after your mind. Just like he changed Eve's mind, he seduced her. He beguiled her. This is what he's endeavoring to do today. He doesn't do anything new. He does the same old tactic over and over and over again. We already have our heaven in earth. Jesus already accomplished that. And this is what the Lord said to me personally here. Always stay on the offensive. Do not allow the enemy to get you on the defensive. I've already redeemed you. You've been bought with a price. Keep the already done mindset before you, and you will not be duped by Satan's lies. The fact that he comes to steal indicates the position you have. If you didn't have anything, why would he come to steal it? Okay, the stand that you hold on to it with. He comes to challenge what you already have. Let your mindset and demeanor reflect that of salvation. To get in defense mode is to get into fear, false evidence appearing real. Do not let go of your victory in your mind. Keep standing fully armed with the truth. All right, go to Ephesians 6. It tells you that in Ephesians 6. This is 13 and 14. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's go look at Romans 13. He comes to play mind games. Right here, verse 11. And that knowing that the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Salvation here means rescue or safety, deliver, help, or save. Just a few of them. There's a bunch. Okay, we've got some other scriptures here I want to look at. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Start with verse 1 there. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Keep in mind what I said, what it is. It's rescue, safety, deliverance, health, to be saved. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things are proving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straightened in us, but ye are straightened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also changed. There's a certain stance that we are supposed to stand in and keep standing, no matter what. No matter what. That's part of growing up, is not letting the enemy take your tongue and start saying things you do not want. Ephesians chapter 1. This is one of the Ephesians prayers, I believe. I just can't stress it any other way, and the Lord's brought this back to me several times. I'm thinking there's only two of us, and the attacks we've been under are just unreal. They view us as a threat. The enemy views us as a threat, like the two that can put 10,000 to flight. They're not going to stop what's coming. They're not going to stop the people that are going to come here. They're not going to stop it.
He's deathly afraid of two people.
Well, he's going to be even more afraid very soon. All right, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. And how come we act like we don't got none? According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. God, we just don't understand. We have no concept of where we sit. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the promise of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Do we really realize what we have? Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. He hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We sit in a great place. And a lot of times, because of the hardness, we don't realize it. Philippians chapter 2, there's a bunch of these scriptures. I didn't write a whole bunch down, but a few. This is Philippians 2, 12 and 13. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Then he goes on, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Philippians chapter 2. That's what I just read, sorry. 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and seasons, verse 1, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, we've already talked about this a few weeks back, about it. He will not appear as a thief to his own, But to those that are not ready for him, he will appear as a thief. He cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but obtained salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's twice here. Salvation, rescue, safety, deliverance, help to save. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil, or render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's keep going. 2 Timothy 2:8 says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Yeah, if anybody could say anything about it, it'd have been Paul, for sure. 2 Timothy 3, this is verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Just think about it. You wouldn't be having any flack. You'd be going on your merry way if you weren't doing the Lord's will. Right? But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the word of God's a stabilizer, keeps us stable. Okay. Titus, this is all through the epistles, Titus 2, starting with 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. 1 Peter chapter 1. Starting with verse 3 there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's your mind. That's where the problems are, right there. You get it for your soul. The mind is key here. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know what thinketh is? The word thinketh, to act as gatekeeper. Yeah. What are you allowing to flow through your gate? You know. This is the place where we decide victory or defeat by what we think. All right, let's keep going here. We got some more scriptures. Romans chapter 8. Start with verse 1 there. I think this is my favorite chapter, or the first 14 verses anyway. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, this is the purpose of learning to live from the inside out. If you just walked by the flesh, it would be very, very difficult. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's why the devil can get at you. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We're not supposed to. I know there's things you have to do concerning your natural body, but we're not to cater after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay. Paul goes on to say, if you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if God, or I mean, excuse me, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And Paul said this, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We have so much more than what we are experiencing. Philippians 3. This is starting with verse 13 there. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. That's all everybody's saying, the same thing. Everybody on the same page. You don't have rogues. Rogues that go home to mama. Or run away from mama. Whatever the case may be. But it's the truth. We got to mind the same thing. We're all on the same page. We got one goal. And that's that enemy that we're taking out. That's our assignment. That's the goal. And we don't need anybody here that's not serious about doing that. They'll be tossed out quickly, I can guarantee you. And I will not bat an eyelash to do it because we've been through too much to allow that kind of garbage. Okay. This is the kind of mind that we're talking about. Already done, already healed, already supplied, already a yes, blessed going in, blessed going out, blessed is my basket, blessed is my store, head thought the tail, above and not beneath. Settle this in your mind today. Settle it. This is our camp. This is where we live. It don't matter what the devil does. He's always going to be doing his shenanigans until he's put in the pit. Already done, already healed, already supplied, already a yes. If you'll settle this in your mind, you'll be unshakable. Then you can take that ball and run it to the end zone. This becoming unsettled over every little thing, that's not good. Not good. Mm-mm. All right. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Okay. Our goal is offensive, not defensive. We're headed to the end zone. Nothing is going to be able to stop us. Touchdown. Isaiah 57 says, much like what Paul said, he set his eyes on the mark and on the goal. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Okay.